The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment this morning. She's got like about 1,000 things that are happening today and tomorrow before her big singing night there, Friday. 7:05 here on the 19th of February. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Good morning. It's going to be a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and Sue's going to tell us why.
Today's sunny at a high of 68 and a low of 40. 68 degrees tomorrow under sunny skies with a low of 42. Plenty of sunshine for Friday as well with a high of 74. 73 for Saturday under sunny skies as overnight lows dip down in the 40s for the rest of the week. Now, Saturday night, we could see a slight change in the weather, mostly cloudy and a low of 44. And then Sunday, a very slight chance of showers, a high of 65. Sunshine by the afternoon, and looks like more sunshine headed our way as of Monday. It's currently clear in downtown Redding. Red Bluff is 41. 40 in Anderson, 34 in the city of Shasta Lake, and 36 degrees in downtown Redding. Quite a bit of road construction if you are planning on traveling near Junction City and the Trinity River. Also this morning, quite a bit of maintenance in and around Redding, an animal hazard at Happy Valley Road and Gas Point Road. If you are north of Redding, they do have a couple of areas being affected by construction. South on I-5, alternating lane closures from O'Brien Road all the way to the Pitt River Bridge. If you are north of Wairika, expect possible delays. Also this morning on 44, doing some road work, and on 299, expect slowdowns just past Weaverville due to ongoing slide repair and an incident also as well on 299. Now, Carl, back to you.
Okay. Please check the streaming.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I think, I'm not sure if it's them or me. So
it's them.
It's them.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You are welcome. Hey, you want to know what today is?
Yeah, well, tell me what today is.
National Day. It's Chocolate Mint Day. Yay. It's Lash Day. I'm not quite sure what kind of lash they're talking about. And Vet Girls Rock Day.
Vet Girls?
Vet Girls.
Is that like Vet Girls, like V-E-T?
V-E-T Girls.
Vet Girls.
Vet Girls. Okay. Yes. So that is National Days today. Somebody has a lot of time on their hands to come up with these days, I'm thinking. That's pretty cool, though. Chocolate Mint Day. Yum, yum.
Okay. You know, my streaming's not working. So we're streaming, though, right?
We are.
Okay, so just me then. Okie dokie. Hey, I am here. By the way, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned, locally operated, veteran-owned business that's been in the business for a couple of decades. Won awards for hiring veterans. Yeah, I mean, for specifically starting another aspect of their business and hiring veterans, won a California award for small businesses. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They're just a great people to work with. Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. And if it's Wednesday, I'm here with Robert Burke. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have for us today, Robert?
Well, we haven't talked about movies in a while, because the movies in theaters, because right. We have been talking quite a bit about the Oscars. So I can go over the last couple of weeks of movies that have come out, if that is good.
Absolutely.
All right. So on February 7th, we only had one movie come out. It was a pretty big blockbuster. It's called Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. This is a DC movie that stars Harley Quinn, who was made popular during the Suicide Squad movie. And it's following her after she broke up with the Joker character. And it's her attempt to try to mend her, like, kind of get over her relationship. It's a bit of a breakup movie, but at the same time, there's this mob boss played by Ewan McGregor, and he is after her and a few other women. So her and other women formed this group called the Birds of Prey, and the reviews were pretty good for this right out of the gate. It didn't look very good, and a lot of people weren't expecting a good movie, but the reviews were pretty shining. It still wasn't enough for it to make any money. It bombed pretty hard at the box office. It's looking like it's not going to make back its budget. But this is an R-rated comic book movie, which is pretty rare. Well, it's not as rare as it used to be, but it was a pretty risky move making this R-rated, and it may have hurt the box office. But it was a well-reviewed movie, and I saw it, and I liked it. I think it's a pretty – it's not super well done, but it's definitely an entertaining movie. So if you're a fan of comic books, that may be one to go check out.
You know, I saw the Suicide Squad, and, you know – I would have given it like a C.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's not very
good. It wasn't that good, and so I can't see if a movie gets a C rating, they bring her back out because the reviews I saw on it just trashed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw some later reviews.
Yeah,
and maybe you're right. Maybe it's because it was an R rating. Maybe because for a variety of reasons. But it's It didn't do well at all, did it?
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
It's currently at 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that means that 78% of critics at least gave it a 6 out of 10 or above, so they at least liked it.
Do you agree with critics?
In general?
Yeah.
I've
seen so many movies that critics have said, nah, you're wasting your time. And so I don't see them in the big theaters. But when they roll around into like Netflix or, you know, on demand, yeah, we'll get them because... just to, you know, look at them. And we've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of these movies that the critics haven't liked. Or didn't get maybe the attention the critics had.
Yeah, well, film is subjective, so what you like isn't necessarily what other people will like. I think that critics... I think that they do serve a good purpose in reviewing movies and helping people out. And generally, I do agree with them. I think that they can be a little questionable, but I mean, I myself being a critic, I understand a lot of the visions that they have of certain movies. There's certain movies where maybe they are entertaining, but the technical aspects aren't very good, and that's not necessarily what the general audience is looking for. So critics, what I would say is if you're looking forward to a movie and it gets okay or bad reviews, still go see it and make up your own mind about it.
I think that's the main thing.
Even if there's a movie that you thought looked absolutely awful and it's getting really good reviews, you still don't need to go see it. You know, it's entirely up to you on...
Well, we've really enjoyed... we've seen most of the best movie nominations. Mm-hmm. Linda's seen more than I have. And we've enjoyed all of them. You know, this year, I think, I didn't see any of the movies that I didn't think were... didn't deserve to be up there. You know, my favorite movie, of course, even though... my favorite movie, of course, was... Once Upon a Time in L.A., because I liked the way he did things, and the way it ended, for me, was exceptional.
Yeah.
And it was a type of ending that you kind of wish it happened, you know, instead of the way that it really did happen, you know, the way it really did end and the tragedy it ended in. Oh, I don't know, maybe that's it. Maybe I just like good endings. In 1917, it was a good ending. In Parasite,
that's kind of debatable on the 1917 one.
Well, he found his brother.
Right, but I mean, he still, this is 1917 spoilers, but he still did die. He still had to tell his brother that he had died. Which was kind of
I see what
hard
you mean.
Thing.
That,
yeah.
that his brother had died.
But I mean, they had called off the attack, which was a good thing. But emotionally, it kind of had a sour ending because it was about war and how it can really hurt people.
And the losing of a life to save the lives of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
Though, if you take it like that. But what it did was it brought it home that there is not just a person, it's a being. It's not a number. It's a being. It's somebody that risked their life in a heroic effort to save other lives.
Right.
So, anyway. So, but then Parasite, that ended weird.
Yeah. It was a bit of a strange ending, but I really liked the way that it ended. I've seen Parasite 4 times now.
Yeah.
I saw it in theaters because it is at Reading Cinemark 14 right now.
Okay.
If you want to see it in theaters. And I got to say, seeing it in theaters is a whole different experience because when people are making audible reactions to what's happening on screen,
yeah,
it's like a totally different movie, and it's
wow.
so much fun.
Okay.
But the ending to Parasite, again, this is going to be spoilers for Parasite. I really liked the way that it ended because it kind of left it open-ended, and it made it feel like these characters have to continue on with daily life even after this
oh, yeah.
horrific thing happened to them.
Yeah.
And it made the story very much feel real.
Yeah, because life goes on.
Right.
I think it's good. I think the most important thing of that whole time for Parasite was what he said in the he ended up getting Best Director, Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Director said, he says, I hope this opens up the world so people are not afraid of one-inch captions.
Right.
Linda watches caption movies all the time. Different language films, and it's pretty interesting. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to finish up on this, and then I have a question to ask you about politics.
Okay.
And don't worry, I'm not surprising him here, and I've already kind of talked about it first. That's why I'm asking it. If I'm not going to, I wouldn't ask you a question to make you sit there and go,
Right.
Yeah. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Sleep Number. When I left, Linda was still in the Sleep Number bed. Her Sleep Number setting is 40, and she's probably up by now. But when I came rolling out and racing down and hopping into the truck to get down here. But sleep so much, it's so vital for a healthy living, emotional well-being, physical health. I mean, you need to get your rest. You need to get your sleep. And Sleep Number has individual fit technology where you can adjust that bed so it so it meets your requirements that night. Like last night, my Sleep Number setting was 55. I usually run 65 or 70, but last night I felt 55 was good, and I slept right through the dog wanting to go out. Linda didn't sleep through it because she came up on her side, and Elk Killer did everything but dance on her head to tell her she had to go outside, so she left. But then the thing is, you come back, you hop in the bed, sometimes you can't go back to sleep. Boom, you're right back to sleep. My Sleep Number setting last night was 55, and people, say, are these beds as good as you two talk about? Well, they are. They really are. And we know a lot of people that own Sleep Number beds, and every one of them has said this is the best night's sleep they've had. Right now, you can discover this and save 50% on a 360 limited edition smart bed now during the Ultimate Sleep Number event. It's the Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, and you're only going to find Sleep Number and one of their 600 stores nationwide, but we have one right here in Reading in the Target Shopping Center. Head on over there and lay down in the bed and find out why we like Sleep Number so much. We'll be right back with Robert Burke in about 2 minutes.
Wind River Resort and Casino invites you to come explore our exciting table games to see what California's premier gaming experience is all about. Our knowledgeable, friendly dealers provide premier gaming action 24 hours a day. With 13 table games and a variety of limits for players at every level, we'll make each gaming experience better than your last. More games, more ways to win, more fun. No one else in town offers this. All the table games details at WindRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes crisis order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Redding. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, 7:22 in the morning here on the 19th of February, about 48 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. If you liked yesterday, you're going to love today. This portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil, Shasta Siskiyou Transport. They're the ones that move oil and gas and kerosene all over the West out here, the Western states. The ones that are big players when we have our fires, because when the firefighters are on the lines, SST Oil has got their transports out there, bringing in the fuel, the jet fuel for the helicopters and the aircraft and the diesel to run the generators, all of those things. They're out there 24 hours a day also. They got a CFN card. It's good in over 60,000 places. It's a fuel network card, and you can get it and use this, like I said, in over 60,000 places here in the U.S. If you're looking for it, it has a little app you can look in and say, where's the nearest gas station that takes this card? And there's always a lot of them around. But this, then every month you get your itemized account of where you spent gas, how much gas you used, all of those things, all of this out of SST Oil. And they're always looking for good employees. If you've decided that you want to drive a truck and make a really good living, if you've ever been through the truck school, but you haven't got a lot of experience, give SST Oil a call at 241-1167. And give them and talk to them. They train their own people. They'll take care of that, of getting you the experience, making sure that you're driving safely, that you're driving correctly the way that they want you to. And like I said, it's an employee-owned business, so they take real good care of their employees. SST Oil, 241-1167. Okay, I'm here with Robert Burke,
who Hello.
Is staying a little bit longer today because he doesn't have class this morning.
Yep.
There's this movie coming out. It's kind of controversial. It's called The Hunt.
Right.
And tell people what The Hunt is about.
So the movie was initially supposed to come out on September 27th, but when it was coming out, it was amidst huge controversy about the media causing violence. And because of that, that was a huge controversy around the time that Joker came out. So this movie was going to come out a week before Joker, and they decided that it was too touchy of a subject to come out at that time, really, I think that they didn't care about that. I think it was just a marketing strategy, because it is now coming out on March 13th, and the new campaign that they're running is very much pointing out the controversy. The poster is just a bunch of quotes by different news articles about how this movie glorifies violence, even though nobody's seen it. And it says, make your decision. And it has September 27th crossed out with the new date, March 13th. This movie is described as a satire with elites killing deplorables. So it's very controversial in terms of the violence. It's very controversial politically, and they're embracing that fully in their campaign.
Well, see, and I think that this is really great that they do this, especially coming up toward the election. And the reason is that here's Hollywood, and this is what Hollywood believes, and this is the way it's going to be couched. Hollywood believes that the elite, the rich, should hunt down deplorables. Of course, deplorables is a synonym for people that voted for Trump. So this thing plays so much into the hands of the Trump campaign and Republicans that, hey, this is what Hollywood believes. They, you know, listen to all the things they say about Trump, how he should be replaced, and how, you know, all the horrible things they say, and Kathy Griffin holding up his head, you know, a severed head, and all these things. So now they're coming out with a movie that says, kill the deplorables. I mean, what are they thinking of?
I think this was a horror movie, and I believe that it's Blumhouse, and Blumhouse is known for making these really cheap horror movies that make back their money on opening weekend, but usually they can never get much of an audience outside of just a normal horror movie crowd, usually just people going out to see a horror movie. So I think it's actually really interesting that they chose a politically themed movie, and they're embracing that fully by making it a controversial movie.
Well, what if they, okay, take deplorables out and use an ethnic group? Do you think that they would even have been able to make this movie?
Probably not, with the way, because, Hollywood
is
very liberal.
A gender group, they couldn't do that.
Right. Huh. And the movie apparently, from early screenings and everything, apparently the message is very confusing, because oftentimes it's siding with far-right politics, and oftentimes it's siding with far-left politics. So really it's just trying to make you feel confused about the political landscape, which I think is an interesting move.
Well, I think everybody is. So.
Right.
Okay. We got like 2 minutes left. We talk a little bit, you know, we don't talk politics here, we talk movies, but
right.
I asked you the question, do you think that 16-year-olds, and you're 17, mm-hmm. do you think the voting age should be dropped to 16? And your answer is?
I would say yes. My reasoning is that I know that there are quite a few kids out there, classmates of mine, who are 16, and you probably wouldn't want them voting. But personally, I don't see a huge difference between their maturity between when they're 16 and when they're 18. Because when you're 18, you're still fresh out of high school. So a lot of that immaturity that you'll find in high school that is later changed in college is still there when they're first able to vote.
If you're able to vote, should you be able to buy cigarettes?
No, I don't think so. I think they're different things.
Well, but you're making the decision for yourself as if you're an adult.
Cigarettes, they have, like, certain health defects that can harm somebody who is not 21 much more than somebody who is 16, which is why I would err on the side of caution with that one. But I think making a political decision, it could help a lot of people my age become more politically active if they know more about – if they're forced into knowing more about the presidential candidates and they're forced into knowing more about certain measures because – they need to learn about it because they're going to be the ones voting on it. So I think it would be beneficial.
You know, and that's a very good answer, but we can't force 40-year-olds to read about things. So it'd be good if we could start them earlier. Maybe a straw vote for 16-year-olds. See how many people would vote.
Yeah.
I think the one answer, though, was if you can still be grounded by your parents, should you be able to vote? So.
Well, I mean, depending on your relationship with your parents, you could be grounded by them when you're 18. You could be grounded by them when you're 21.
Yeah, if you're going to come back and live with them, you got to live under the rules of my house. Sure, right.
Right.
Robert, I always like having you on, buddy. You, this thing about The Hunt, I'm just, it breaks me up when I see movies coming out like this. But it was interesting to see what you said is that, hey, they're bringing in both sides of it, but it is still, it's an exploitation film. They make all their money back in the first weekend, and anything after that is gravy for them.
Right.
Because it's usually low budget, I would imagine. Okay. Well, look, have a great day at school.
I'm not going to school.
Oh.
I have the day off of school. That's why I could stay.
How did you do that?
We get this week off. They used to give us 2 weekends for President's Day, 2 3-day weekends, and they decided to just make it a week.
Well,
yeah.
I'm appalled by that. I'm thinking that you're not learning everything you should learn, though, in school. Yeah, I think we should.
I'll learn it all next week.
Okay, I got one more question. You think school should go year-round?
I am a big supporter of year-round school.
Okay. With a couple weeks off here and there.
I think the method that I like that a lot of people use is, or that a lot of year-round schools use that I've seen, is 2 months of school and 1 month off, and doing that 4 times a year. And I like that idea because I think in the summer you lose a lot of the learning that's built up over the year. So not only would you get more breaks with the 2 month, 1 month thing, I think the learning would probably be the same because you don't dedicate half of a semester to reteaching.
Four months on, 1 month off?
No, 2 months on, 1 month off.
Yeah, wish I had that job. Okay, buddy, thanks a lot. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Institute for the second year in a row. One of the highest rated hospitals by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, received 4 out of 5 stars in specifically targeted categories, including heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, surgical complications, heart failure, stroke, and hip knee replacements. Not only that, they're in one of the lowest rate of infection in the United States also. They're 4 out of 5 stars in that too. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, and community. You have a choice about your health. Choose Shasta Regional Medical Center. We'll be right back.
Experience the life and story of artist and World War II veteran John Schuller through his paintings and memoirs in Turtle Bay's exhibit, Lost Man Blues, John Schuller, Art and War. Open now until April 26th. Learn more about this must-see art exhibition at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Did you know that the I-5 property where we would like to relocate our casino was supposed to be set aside for Native Americans nearly 170 years ago? My great-great-great-uncle actually signed Treaty H, one of the 18 unratified treaties with the United States government, which unfortunately, like many promises made to our ancestors, the treaty was never ratified. Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Join the adventure in Turtle Bay's new exhibit, Treasure, open now until May 3rd. Learn about the history, people, and technology of treasure hunting and get involved with fun, hands-on activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. 605-4567 is our phone number, 735 in the morning, 48 degrees out there. Weather report brought to you, it's going to be beautiful. You like yesterday, you're going to love today. Weather report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793, and Judy Maxwell and Maxwell Insurance and Financial is bringing us this segment. Helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Judy Maxwell knows insurance. She knows finances. If you've got any question about health insurance, which is a big thing going on right now, life insurance, your business insurance, any of those, Judy Maxwell has the answer for you. Give her a call at 221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. See her right there on the left as you're heading down there toward Trader Joe's. And I'm here today with Julie Sessions and Tracy Barber, and they're with the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. And we'll start with Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about the program.
Well, the Ombudsman Program is, we advocate for residents in long-term care facilities and the residential care facilities throughout the northern five counties. Mm-hmm. And we go in there and we investigate allegations of abuse and neglect. And we also educate families and the residents on their rights within the facilities.
Okay. And, Tracy, what are you doing this?
I have been the program manager for the past 13 years, and I'm just running the program, making sure that all the residents are seen and heard.
And this is – you're based out of what now? Is this from the county or is this from
– This is a state-certified program.
Okay, but it's a private program. No? I mean, I missed the first part here somehow. When you said that, okay, what office do you work out of?
So we work out of a Redding office.
Uh-huh.
And so that's our local office, and then we have people in all five counties.
Okay. So, but this is a state-funded
It is a program mandated through the Older Americans Act.
Okay.
And funded through federal and state dollars.
Okay, that's what I was looking for because because a lot of operations we have around here are locally formed, like Shining Care. They're a non government organization, but you all are a government organization, and so your whole mission is to make sure that our elders are being taken care of while they're in assisted living facilities.
And skilled nursing, yes.
And skilled nursing, okay. So how does that work? How do you do that?
Calls come into the office, and we if it's a complaint, we take that complaint. We get that to the ombudsman that oversees whatever particular facility that complaint is coming from. And then we go out, and because we're resident-directed, we go out and we meet with residents to see how they're feeling and if they share the concerns that came into the office. And then we advocate for whatever they'd like us to do.
Okay. So give me an example.
such as you get a phone call from a family that says, I'm concerned about my parents, my father. Mm-hmm. He's in a home, and I'm not sure he's being taken care of.
Then we would take that concern, and you're very anonymous, your call coming in, and we go to that resident, and we meet with them and talk with them and see if – and we don't lead into anything, so we just kind of see if they have any concerns that are considered – not considered – that are – that meet what you're telling us, and because they're the ones that live there, and if they're – experiencing anything that remotely sounds like it's what you're telling us, then we will work from that particular person's perspective and what they would like us to do.
Do any of the homes not let you in?
Oh, sometimes.
Is that right?
Yes. They try to.
They try not to let you in to talk to people?
Mm-hmm.
Can they do that?
No. We have a right of access. There's a regulation for that. And so when we meet up with people that don't want to let us through the door, which hasn't happened in a very long time, but, you know, it does occasionally. Throughout the state, I'm sure it happens often. And so we hand them that right of access form, giving them the law. And if they let us in, great. If they don't, then we usually go and get law enforcement to kind of go with us and help us.
I like that.
Yeah. And okay. If they continue to impede that, the one citation that as ombudsman that we can give is, I believe it's a $2,500 citation for failure to allow us the access.
Well, no, but the police usually will get the place open for you, right?
Typically, yes.
I would.
It's been a very long time since we've had to pull that plug.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, since we've had hey, Sheriff McGreeny, we need you out here. And all of a sudden, like two sheriff's deputies, an hour or two later, after they can get them back on the road there, gets there. But, okay, so these are licensed facilities that you're looking at,
yes.
Right? What about people that are being cared at in their homes? Do you have anything to do with that?
The only way we would have anything to do with that is if somebody gave us an idea that a room and board was providing care. That would require that looks like or could possibly require a license, and then we would go out and we have a checklist of things that we would look at, and if it met that need, we would forward that complaint and that concern over to the licensing department, and then licensing would come out and decide whether or not they need to be licensed.
Okay. Well, what about the? Okay. So, how many reports do you get a year?
We're between 350 and 400.
Okay. So around 350 to 400 cases, somebody has called you because they know about you.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot more people are going to know about you.
Hope so.
This.
That's a good thing.
Is
yes.
That one of the reasons that you're here today to talk about just the program like that?
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that we've said for the last 13 years is that we've kind of been the best kept secret in Shasta County and all the other four outlying counties. There are a number of times where people come to us and they make the phone calls, and it's after the fact, and you know we just didn't know about you when we needed to know.
Okay.
We have posters in every facility, but they get strategically hidden, and so people just don't see.
Okay, so what's the typical one you get, Julie? Here's your chance. Star.
Well, you know, I've just started with this program in the last month, so I'm fairly new to it.
That's not a fair question, though. But what have you seen in the first month, though? Have you found your desk?
I have found my desk, and I actually got a new one because Tracy's leaving us, so I'm officially taking over March 1st.
You're leaving?
I am.
Have you had enough?
Yep. No.
She's making the exit.
No, it's time to do something different with our lives, so we're moving to Texas. I know.
Everybody glares at her.
Most people are like, no, I wish I could do that. Good for you. That's not what I'm seeing here.
One of Linda's very best friends just sold her place and are moving outside Dallas to a community out there.
Yeah.
Out toward Plano, Texas.
Nice. I hear Plano's super, Plano's super nice.
Plano's
yeah.
Super nice out there. Yeah.
I'm going a little lower than Plano, but yeah.
Where are you going?
We are going to Belton.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I glared at her. I gave her my snake look. There. She's doing that. Okay. Well, let me go back to you then, Tracy, since Julia still hasn't found exactly where she's supposed to park the car.
I know how to turn on the computer, if that helps.
There you go. What are the things you hear the most about?
Oh, I don't go out in the field very often anymore, so I would have to say in reviewing the cases and complaints when they come in at the end of the month, probably a lot of financial.
Financial
abuse by families or friends.
Okay, but I thought they were in homes.
They are in care homes.
But their power of attorney is with somebody else?
No, not always.
Not always.
Not always.
How do they abuse? How do people get to their money then?
People have access to their bank accounts. Maybe a family member is taking the bank card to go and get the money, or they're the ones that are paying the bills and helping the resident along. Yeah. Just because they're in care homes doesn't mean that they don't have the capacity to make those decisions and do those activities of daily living themselves. It could be a scam person making the phone calls, and they're trying,
We're seeing that all the time.
Right.
You know, they're calling in and all of a sudden they're trying to take $60,000 out of their accounts.
Yeah.
So how do people get a hold of you all?
They can call our local office. They can look us up on the website. They can
email us. What's your phone number?
530-229-1435.
And where are you located at?
We're at 1647 Hartnell Avenue, Suite 13.
Okay. And how big is your office?
About 400 square foot.
Well, I meant how many people?
Currently in the office, there's four.
There's four.
But we are, the ombudsman has a volunteer. Historically, there's been volunteers that have helped run this program.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Tracy exiting, we're also losing her mother, who is also an ombudsman, and we're looking at needing new ombudsmen.
Okay. So that's what we're talking about.
Well,
we need some people.
Everything. We're looking for volunteers.
But it's also a paid, don't you? You have paid spots there, obviously.
There are four paid ombudsman positions.
Okay. And then the ones out in the different counties. But do they all come back up to you here in Shasta
yes,
County?
Yes, they do.
Okay. All right. And the bottom line on this is that the taking care of people that are in assisted living facilities or senior facilities, and that there's been something going on that maybe is not above board, so you come down and you investigate it. Okay. From the time that you get the call to the time you get somebody down there is how long? A week?
Oh, no.
A day?
No, we make contact within 24 hours.
Oh, well, good.
Whether that's on telephone or in person.
To the person themselves or the facility?
To the person themselves.
Okay. What if they have dementia?
Then we go to the facility and find out who their responsible party is.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
So there's a group of people out here that's out there to help seniors at risk out in, we're not saying facilities are doing things to them on purpose, but there could be some things going on that mm-hmm. need to be, to be looked at.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't even know that you guys existed.
Well, now you do.
Well, because, right? And not because he was being treated badly or anything like this, but we were trying to get a man into a facility who had dementia, and ended up having to go into a conservatorship, and it is just, as you probably know, you just don't go down and get a conservatorship.
No, it's a process.
To ensure that, and then, but, the facility was taking really good care of them. So, anyway, well, thank you very much, and thank you for what you do. And going to Texas is okay. Just leave some room there. don't take your Southern California ways with you.
Absolutely not. And I'm not Southern California.
I know. See, when they see you coming in from California, they immediately go.
They automatically assume.
Oh, no.
But
you say, hey, look, I'm from Northern California. If we could, we'd secede to Texas.
Right. Right. We didn't come across that at all when we were there.
Yeah, that's good.
Very accommodating. Very nice people.
Well, there's a lot of Californians moving into Texas.
Yeah.
And the Idaho and other places. And you would think somebody at the top of the leadership here in the Sacramento, we might notice that we have some problems.
Well,
here. Why
think.
Are so many people leaving? I mean, you're young. Yeah, move back there. I mean, you're still in the workforce, I guess, if you want to be. So you're going to go back there and find a job, and you're taking you and your husband's income. And it sounds like your mom's going with you.
Yep.
So the whole Barber family is moving to Texas. it's a reverse of the Okies coming west. We've got the Californians going east.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, ladies, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Yeah. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Assembly candidate Piyush P.K. Danuka says he'll solve the homeless problem. But he failed to vote on the Homeless Veterans Prevention Act to get our heroes off the street and into shelters. Danuka says he'll keep taxes down, but failed to oppose an $855 million a year tax hike. He says he'll stop wildfires, but failed to vote on legislation to help prevent them. Piyush Danuka says he'll clean up Sacramento, but his failed voting record and false promises just say he'll fit right in.
Fortunately, Megan Daly is already working to fix what's wrong in Sacramento. She's leading the fight to clean up the homeless mess. Megan's work to prevent wildfires earned her support from the California Professional Firefighters Association. And the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association backs Megan Daly because she will protect Prop 13 and keep taxes down. Assemblywoman Megan Daly, getting the job done for us.
Paid for by Megan Daly for Assembly 2020.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Yeah, 605-4567. I've got like 7 minutes here before our next guest comes in, Leonard Modi. He's supervisor running for re-election. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Home Helpers. Sharon Clark and Home Helpers is been voted the best in the North State so many times in a row. I can't even remember, probably 14 times, and she's been in the business 15 years. If you're looking for somebody that can help you for a couple hours a day or 7 days a week, it's Sharon Clark. Give her a call at 226-8350. Every one of her people are well-trained. There are people that she would have in her house. If there, something ever happened to Linda's parents or me, I would call Sharon Clark, and because I trust her that much, to come in and take care of the family and the house. Again, learn more at readyandhomehelpers.com. Home Helpers. Okay, Sue, do you ever watch these debates?
I do. I try to avoid them as much as possible because I get so frustrated.
Well,
and a lot of them, you know, we could all become politicians. Seriously, everyone can. You just need to talk about three things. Healthcare, you know, the immigrant issue, and the homeless population if you're from California.
Oh, gosh.
That's it. And I'm
just talking
to
somebody. Just talking to somebody here that, you know, she just said, hey, we're moving to Texas. I mean, the whole family's going. The whole Barber family's going to Texas because they've had it. But here's the thing is I'll watch debates for like 10 minutes and I'll see what's going on and I start giggling and I have to turn it off. But I'm going to watch the debate tonight. Why?
Why?
Because Mike Bloomberg, who has bought his way into the primary.
The billionaire
who has spent $300 million minimum on ads and everything. He's risen to third in the national polls without anybody knowing anything except what he puts on TV. Well, tonight he goes mano a mano with Bernie and Joe Biden. And Elizabeth Warren says, I'm ready. I'm ready for this guy.
Really?
You know, and Amy Klobuchar says, I can't outspend him, but I can sure out debate him. And so Mike Bloomberg gets on the stage tonight with people that are, let's just say, upset. Upset's probably the right word. This could be something, my friends, that you know, you make popcorn and you sit down in front of the TV set and you kind of like, I'll have a sheet of paper with in front of me and it'll say, slight touch, okay, light wound, medium wound, laying on the floor, gushing blood wound.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, I'll put it like this. And we'll see how Mike Bloomberg stands up because, you know what, Trump will probably get the night off tonight.
To watch it.
Well, no. They won't mention Trump too much because Bloomberg is the elephant in the room. Even though he probably has to stand on a podium, he has to stand on a step to be able to see over the podiums.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was.
No. He's like
stature.
He says he's
big
like,
wallet.
He said, yeah, he looks taller because he sits on his wallet.
I get you.
He'll stand on his wallet there in the at the podium. No, though they had a special step for him,
really
in New York. Oh yeah, I mean there's nothing about short people.
I can't.
But he had a special step. He's not that tall. You know, Trump, of course, in his own inimitable way of being a class act, calls him Mini Mike.
Goodness, I can't wait to hear him talk. You know, to Bernie Sanders because of his socialist agenda. That should be very interesting because it's just two different sides.
Well, you know what? And then you've got him saying, you know, they've got things on. You think that they're going to go after Trump?
No,
I mean,
they're going to go after each other.
They are going after. Well, no, they've got to get Bloomberg. They've got to get Bloomberg tonight because he's all of a sudden jumped to the top of his
the ranks in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
What is it, the third? He's ranked third now?
Yeah, something like that. Oh, I just noticed what a big mistake I made.
What was that?
Today's Wednesday, right?
Yes, today's Wednesday. Why?
I double booked. They both came in at the same time, too. So I totally blew that one. So I don't know how that happened because it's the same thing every week, every month. Anyway, so that's going to be something good to watch tonight. Now, Bernie has also said that Fox has been fairer to him than MSNBC. Yeah, listen to that.
Interesting.
MSNBC does not want Bernie to be the candidate. Bernie wants to. Bernie is now running first. Biden is slow. Is sinking. Warren has almost sunk, and the other ones are just kind of like holder-ons. And now Bloomberg's in it because Bloomberg's going to be their firewall against Trump. So, anyway.
That will be interesting if he does end up.
It is.
You know, head to head with Trump.
It is. It's terribly that way.
I was waiting to see who that little dark horse was going to be. I was wondering, they had to find, there had to be somebody outside of the immediate party. And I think, you know what, it's going to be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see what happens after tonight. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. President Trump is playing a major role in Alabama's Senate race.
Republicans are brandishing their pro-Trump credentials as they vie for the party's nomination for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Democrat Doug Jones. Former Attorney General Jeff Sessions tweets that he was the only U.S. senator who had, in his words, the guts to stand for Trump in 2016. Former Auburn football coach Tommy Tuberville calling Sessions a weak-kneed career politician, one who's not strong enough to stand with the president. The winner of the GOP primary is seen as having a good chance of recapturing the Senate seat for Republicans in strongly pro-Trump Alabama. Bob Agnew reporting.
President Trump told reporters yesterday he knows he's not making things easier on Attorney General William Barr by tweeting about Justice Department cases. Speaking with reporters before heading out of Washington on a West Coast trip, Mr. Trump said he needs to be on social media because he doesn't get a fair shake from the press. Now that President Trump has gone on a clemency blitz, the question remains, will he end up pardoning his friend Roger Stone?
Trump said he had yet to think about pardoning Stone, who is scheduled to be sentenced tomorrow, or granting clemency to several former aides who have ended up in legal jeopardy, like Paul Manafort and Mike Flynn. But he made clear he's sympathetic.
You take a look at what's happening to these people. Somebody has to stick up for the people.
As for Stone, he added, you're going to see what happens.
But I think he's been treated very unfairly.
Something Trump has repeatedly tweeted. Stone was convicted of witness tampering and lying to Congress as part of a Russia investigation. I'm Julie Walker.
Former New York mayor and billionaire Mike Bloomberg spent more than $400 million on political advertising and has seen a rise in national polling as a result. That's allowed him a place on tonight's debate stage in Las Vegas after the DNC dropped an additional requirement of reaching a certain number of donors. Since Bloomberg accepts no donations, polls were the only way that he could qualify. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Statement is not evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Individual results will vary. If you tried to lose weight and failed, it wasn't your fault. According to leading medical experts, when we cut back on how much we eat, our body shifts into survival mode, reducing our metabolism and making us even hungrier. But now, a breakthrough discovery that helps you fight food cravings is available without a prescription. Riduzone uses your body's natural appetite control, a molecule called OEA, to break that cycle. Riduzone is the only product that contains OEA.
I've lost 75 pounds using Riduzone. My husband has lost 50 pounds using Riduzone. Riduzone has made it so that we eat less food, and it has taken away the cravings that we used to have. Riduzone has made it so that I can lose the weight without feeling hungry.
Go to Riduzone.com. Use promo code today to save up to 65% off your order. That's Riduzone.com. Save up to 65% and get free shipping by using promo code today at Riduzone.com. That's Riduzone.com.
Hundreds of passengers who tested negative for the new coronavirus have begun leaving a quarantined cruise ship in Japan amid heavy criticism over the country's handling of the outbreak.
There are a lot of critics here today in Japan who fear that this is the wrong thing to do, that this is a major mistake. One of the key voices within the last few hours has been Professor Iwata from Kobe University. He managed to make it onto the cruise ship yesterday, and he says the quarantine measures, the infection control measures, are inadequate. He says that, in fact, it could well be that many of these people leaving today still have the virus and are even testing negative and showing no symptoms.
BBC correspondent Laura Bicker. China's top diplomat assured diplomats from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, meeting in Vientiane, Laos, the virus situation in central Chinese province is under effective control. This is townhall.com. President Trump yesterday warned leaders of California's major cities that if they don't start cleaning up their homeless crisis soon, the federal government's going to come in and take care of the problem for them. Here's Jackie Quinn.
President Trump on a West Coast tour was praising the leaders of the 2028 Summer Olympics.
The city of Los Angeles, the city of angels, will once again raise up the Olympic torch.
He was asked how the city's homeless problem will look to the rest of the world and if the federal government would intervene.
Whether they like it or not, we're going to have to do something. So we're right now working in L.A. They're also contacting San Francisco. They have to clean it up. You have needles, you have things that we don't want to discuss all over the streets flowing into the oceans.
In the past, he's blamed Democratic leaders, including House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who represents the San Francisco area. I'm Jackie Quinn.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating over 10 years on the air, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live the 19th of February, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, what's the weather look real quick? Here, Susie.
Today in the North Valley, sunny at a high of 68 with a low of 40 and partly cloudy skies. Mostly sunny for Thursday and Friday with a high of 68 for Thursday, 74 for Friday with lows dropping in the 40s. Saturday, sunny and 73 with a low of 44 and mostly cloudy skies and a chance of showers for Sunday and a high of 65.
Okay.
In downtown Reading, it's 36.
Right now?
Right now, it shows it's 36 degrees and clear.
Gosh, mine shows much... Mine shows like 40-something. Anyway, hey, okay. Anyway, the weather report's brought to you by our friends down at Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. I feel like a hockey goalie right now because I've made a mistake, and when you make a mistake as a goalie, a red light comes on and people scream at you. So today, I wanted to get Leonard Modi on because the election's coming up, and he's our supervisor running for re-election, but I somehow neglected to remember that this is also Sheriff Eric McGreeny's day and has been like that for 6 or 7 years for the sheriff to come in on this Wednesday. So, you know, the only thing I can say is my brain has ceased to function. So what we're going to do is for the first segment, and thanks a lot, Eric, for being a forgiving kind of guy.
I aim to please.
You aim to please. That's right. And is we're going to talk. We're here with Leonard Modi. Thanks so much for coming.
My pleasure.
And Eric, and I want to talk about Measure A and start off with Measure A. Leonard, you backed this.
Yeah, I do. I personally think it's a good chance for Shasta County and for Reading to take control of our area without the state stepping in. They've made a lot of rules and regulations that we have to live with, and they don't give us much money to deal with the issues that come along with that. So I like the measure because, number one, it gives us local control. The money's going to stay here. And also it gives the citizens the chance to tell us if this is where they want to spend the money. It's as close as they can get to doing the budget for Shasta County as possible, and I think it's great to have an opportunity to have them tell us.
Okay. Eric,
yes.
The impact it would have if this passes or when this passes.
Yeah, so this would be, and I've used the illustration before, this would be a game changer for the sheriff's office because of the funding opportunities that will be there consistently. It's important to point out this can't supplant any existing positions, any existing monies. So this is all new money for new positions, new programs for the sheriff's office. So this would enhance our ability to build a new jail. Which is a much-needed thing here in Shasta County, up to 500 jail beds, increase programs within the jail, such as a medication-assisted treatment, which we've already started, but I know we're going to be successful at that, and we're going to need additional funding to grow that. It'll pay for out-of-county beds for those inmates who have been sentenced. Well, if we're trying to get unsentenced people who haven't been to court yet, to show up in court. Well, if those jail beds are being occupied by sentenced inmates, if we have an opportunity to send those people out of counties, and we have three existing contracts right now with other counties to house our inmates. So it'll give an opportunity for that, which then creates more jail beds for unsentenced inmates.
People need to know, though, it's not every inmate that you can ship out.
No.
There's a criteria. They've got no medical problems. They can't be psychotic. They can't be violent.
No discipline issues.
No discipline. So that kind of cuts back on the ones you can send.
Plus, they can't be ones that are awaiting trial because they need access to their attorneys. And that,
right. These are all just sentenced guys and girls.
Yes. Well, and then it also puts up to 20 new deputies on the street. So
when it says up to 20 new deputies, and this is what I hear, Leonard. Explain the verbiage on this.
And I heard you there today talking about it as well. And
try to capture it?
Yeah, you did really well. I mean, there's certainly the part where, as you can say, there's going to be this amount of sales tax that comes in, but that can change. Who knows what could happen between now and next year or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other part too is things cost more. So if we want to build 500 jail beds up too, but let's say the construction costs skyrocket in 3 years from now when we're building, you may not only be able to afford 425 beds. So we're going to build as many as we can up to that limit, but we have to have ourselves, we can't, like you mentioned, what if we say something, it's 500, and we only can build 400, people are going to say, well, you lied to us, or you're cheating, or something. And so there is some flexibility, but the comments that we're going to build one and call it done is just not true.
Well, so when we say up to 20, if we can have enough money to hire 20, we'll hire 20 if we
Absolutely.
Can find them.
We'll
if we only have money for 15, we're going to hire 15.
Right.
Okay, and that's kind of the thing that I'm trying to get across. Now, the other thing for you, Leonard, is people are talking about how you can move money around. And they're using AB 109 money. It's kind of like apples and oranges. There's money that comes into the Community Correctional Partnership. That's money coming in from AB 109, and people are saying, well, they're playing fast and loose with that. But that is totally separate than Measure A.
Correct. And the other thing about AB 109 is there's a lot of people, and one of your guests on the other day was saying, well, they could use all this money to do certain things. There are certain requirements on that money to be used for programs through probation. In fact, the state, when they passed the legislation about this, said that the probation chief will be the chair of the CCP committee. And the reason is so that the probation has a bigger say in sort of, because they want money to go to probation. So they can't just give it all to the sheriff to run a jail, which was suggested on your program. That's just not possible.
Okay, and the probation officer is the one that chairs this.
By law is the one that chairs it. Yes.
Do you find, Sheriff, that when you're in those meetings, it comes down to a lot of 4-3 votes?
I would say past practice there has been that. There's a new energy.
There's a new sheriff in town.
There's a new energy in the county with the county department heads with the CCP committee. Where, in fact, we just did our budget meeting last month, and it was probably in record time. I mean, it was unanimous vote. So, on how that money was to be spent for the new allocating the money for the new budget cycle. So, there's a lot of cooperation going on right now, which is a good thing.
I understand we had Tracy on, and she said that in a year or two, is it Tracy?
Yes.
In a year or two, we are going to be. The money's running out. The money's running out. We're going to start cutting programs because AB 109 money keeps getting cut.
It does.
So
there's a lot of factors for that. One of the reasons, it's not the primary reason, but a factor that contributes to that money getting cut, which is pretty unfortunate by the state, is when we have somebody that recidivates, gets rearrested, gets convicted, and goes to prison, we actually get penalized for that by the state, and we get funds reduced that were coming to Shasta County. So the state
makes
basically saying, shame on you for sending people to prison.
And it doesn't have to, it's not the same crime, it's a different crime. I mean, they've even expanded that out. So, okay.
Yeah. Puts a smile on your face, doesn't it?
I don't know if you heard the ladies that were just in here. I'm the ombudsman for long-term care. They take care of people, and they get calls about people being maybe mistreated or something. And the one that heads up that program for the last 13 years is getting ready to be, they're moving to Texas. The whole family, her mom, her husband, the kids, they're all going to Texas here in a couple months.
And there's a lot of people that are moving. And that's part of when we do these community events for this Measure A, we've gone to dozens here in the last several weeks. And you hear people say, hey, we're fed up, we're looking to move. And that's an option. The other option is to just, you're content with the way things are now. You're happy with
the status quo,
the where our society is here in Shasta County and where it's going, and you can vote no, and that's your prerogative.
That's your prerogative.
If you want to make a difference, if you want to make a change, if you want there to be accountability, offender accountability here, because we vacation a lot. My wife and I, we travel. We have our travel trailer, and we've gone and seen some beautiful parts of this nation. There are some gorgeous parts, but when we come back into Shasta County, there's a lot here to be invested in. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for being with us for the first segment here, Sheriff, and I will get you back in just ASAP if you can work me into your schedule. I'm so embarrassed.
You're fine.
I'm glad that both of you are here for this segment because we're hearing, Leonard telling us why it's a good idea. And I've got a couple more questions about it, about Measure A from the supervisor's sense. And because we've had, Joe on talking about it. But you're one of the people, you've got tenure there, don't you? Is Les Ball been on longer than you?
He has been 2 years longer than me.
Yeah, but you've been there, what, 10 years?
Going on 12 this year.
12. Okay, that's right. And there's questions that people have brought up about Measure A. I just want you to put them to rest during this. And, Eric, thank you so much, buddy.
Absolutely. Always good to see you.
And my apologies again
this. We're good.
We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Redding, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. It takes care of not only the Bott family, but
the McGraney family.
there's
a good backstory to that.
That was a great one. We'll talk about that next time you're on, buddy.
Okay.
Linda's just beaming every time she hears about it.
I'm sure.
So it's a great place to go to. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back with Leonard Mody.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
This is Supervisor Leonard Mody. We want leaders who are trusted to do what's right for our community. They value input from others. Leaders seek solutions rather than just complain about the problems. That's why I'm running for re-election for supervisor. I have brought forward ideas to improve our community. I have the experience, knowledge, and most importantly, the integrity to do the job.
Vote Leonard Mody, Supervisor District 2.
Paid for by the Committee to Re-elect Leonard Mody, Shasta County Supervisor District 2, 2020.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire.
Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk station, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live all over the world. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Jeff Wurst, a veteran-owned business. He has been in this business for over a quarter of a century. Don't fool around with your family safety. Get it repaired the proper way, and that's at Crackmasters, whether it's a chip or a crack over 2.5 feet in length. Bring your vehicle in for a free inspection and analysis at 3208 South Market Street or give them a call at 241-8373 for an appointment today. I'm sitting here with Leonard Modi, supervisor, District 2, running for re-election. This is your third. This is your, what, you've been in there like 12 years almost.
Yes.
Since you retired from police chief.
Yeah, after 31 years with the Reading Police Department, the last six was the police chief.
So you've got like tenure there when you start looking at how many years people have been there. Look, do you see that happening in the future? This really hasn't got anything to do with the county, but do you see that in the future that it's like 3 years and out for our police chiefs?
Oh, no, I think it could be longer than that, but not a whole lot longer. I think 3 to 5 years is kind of what it's going to be. I think 3 is about the average around the state, so that's not unusual.
Until the new area, until the new people have been in there long enough, they come up, they've got to stay in until they're age 55.
Well, it depends on their personal circumstances. A lot of it depends on what age they started at, if that, you know, changes their formula and different things like that. But I think a lot of it depends on if they're enjoying their job, too. So
that's what I would think.
If you're having a good time.
Yeah, if you're having a good time, why don't you stay? Yeah. I mean, it's not like the you're having to beg on the street for that. I mean, the job pays well, and if you're enjoying it, I can't see why. I stayed in the Marines 2 years longer than I should have because they kept making exceptions for me. I kept saying, shouldn't I retire? No. Yeah, you can, but why don't you do this first?
Yeah.
Hey, Leonard, the Measure A, one of the things I hear is you can move the money out of there. You can move that money that you've been spending $10 million on the jail every year that we have for operations and maintenance. You can take that money out and use it someplace else and just push in the Measure A money.
Well, and you can't because the ordinance says you can't supplant money. Eric mentioned that earlier. You can't. Old money is for old things. New money is for new things. And It's set up specifically for that. The only way that the money can be altered at all is you can move it slightly between the identified programs, which is, you know, the sheriff, the police department, you know, the DA. But you can't take the money and go pave roads with it or, you know, build a park or something like that. It's very it's a specific tax, and it's set up that way. It's and the money's earmarked for certain things and can only be spent on those things.
What about the idea that the way it's written, it says it can, you know, to be used for repair and the old jail too.
Yeah, and the reason why that is in there is because when the courthouse gets built, and I want to remind people that that's a state courthouse, not a county.
Yeah, it's not coming out of county.
No, it's called the Shasta County Courthouse, but it's not a county facility. It's a state. But as they move out of their courtrooms and are in the old courthouse and the two courtrooms in the jail, we can go in and renovate those two courtrooms and create more space for jail beds. And so that's why that's in there, to allow us to do that. Plus, there's been some talk about whether or not we could, you know, move the kitchen or laundry facilities in the basement and build more jail beds there. So it gives us that flexibility to add more jail beds. But it's not to do something with the existing jail bed space as far as doing something else with the money. It has to be new, something new.
Okay. How many beds do we need?
Well, you know, it's there's always a debate about that. Some of the people say the numbers are 300, 400 beds. A lot of it may depend on what happens with the laws. We've already seen that in the last, you know, 5 years, where a lot of felonies or misdemeanors, a lot of misdemeanors or cite and releases. I think we do need the 400 beds at least, maybe more.
400 more beds.
Yeah.
So you're saying is that we need close to 1,000 beds.
Well, we have 400, just right. Over 400 now, so probably around, yeah, somewhere around 800, 900 beds. Because, as Eric mentioned, we have so many people who are committing misdemeanor crimes now who are just being released back onto the street. And that allows them, number one, to reoffend, and number two, not to show up in court. The show-up rate is dramatically for the judges. They're very upset, you know, because it used to be like 90% showed up. Now it's like 30 or 40%. And so this way you actually have them in the facility there when you need them. And so it's sort of, you know, building that situation where people realize there is a consequence for committing crimes. And right now there is none, not much. It's kind of a, you know, slap on the hand and get released. And this way, if you're even smaller crimes that people are tired of seeing, the quality of life crimes, if those people were in jail, they wouldn't be committing those. And that would help us clean up our streets and help clean up our whole area.
A lot of this is drug related, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I would say my estimate is that substance abuse relates to about close to 70% of our crimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that all? I would have thought more than that.
Well, that's a lot. 70%. You think it might be higher even?
That's what I would think. And only because, you know, after I saw Seattle's Dying, that documentary, and they're saying like 90-something percent. That may be too high, but that's Seattle. I mean, I'm not sure about here, but it just seems to me that when you're seeing people that, and I see them walking down the street, and there's something wrong. They're off, but I'm not sure if it's a mental problem or if it's because the drugs have caused this. How big a mental problem do you think we have on the homeless out there?
Yeah, my estimate, if you figure 70% is the substance abuse, I think another, you know, 15% could be mental illness. Mm-hmm. I think there's a portion there that's are just criminals, and there's also another 10% that just choose a transient lifestyle and don't want anybody to tell them what to do, when to do it, or where to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think there's a group there like that. We're seeing all these things about homeless villages being built. What's your thought on that?
Well, the concept by itself is could be okay. I'd like to see a lot more detail on it. I think the bigger issue is where does it go? It has to be someplace where there's some infrastructure to support it. It has to be some transportation, the availability of services and things like that. There was a discussion about putting one out there near Old Shasta, which I think is not a good location because it doesn't have any of that. And it puts it in an area that already is suffering from the wildfire after the car fire. So I know there are some of the places that have. You mentioned earlier about Texas. I mean, there's the one that everybody talks about in Austin, Texas, or outside the city. But, again, I'd like to see more of the details. I've just heard the concept, and that's mm-hmm. that's about it.
Okay. When you look back on it, when the funding came back, you know, was up there for the ARC, the Adult Rehabilitation Center, you thought it wasn't, well, not that it's not a good idea, but you voted against it.
Yeah.
What was your reasoning behind
that? And let me, people like to take that and twist it around, but first a reminder, all five supervisors voted against it in the end. In fact, even the sheriff at the time and the district attorney stood up and our county auditor and said, you can't afford to do this. The problem with the ARC was the concept was okay, and building it was okay, but the problem was we could never have the money to operate it. The sheriff originally told us that it would cost us an additional $1.9 million to operate the ARC.
And that was with, what, 68 beds?
64 beds.
64 beds.
And that number quickly grew from $1.9 million to $2.1 to $2.9 to $3.1 to $3.4 million. Which was way beyond anything we could afford. And that's when even, like I said, even the sheriff and the DA, because we would have had to lay off deputies. We didn't have that kind of money. And that meant, you know, laying off deputies was not a good thing. So it was an obvious choice, I think, for the whole board, not just me, the whole board to vote.
Well, I ask each board member that, too.
Yeah. To couldn't afford to do it. Now, some people say, well, why don't you just build it and let it sit there until you could operate it later? And what they don't know, and because they're not part of the process, is that the state, with their state money, had strings attached, which said was you had to have the place operational within 90 days after construction. And if you didn't, the state could take it back. Well, if you look back at the time, what was going on, that's when all the overpopulation was going, all the state prison releases. I thought there was a good chance of becoming a state prison in Reading. And I didn't think people wanted a state prison in Reading. And I think that's, for me, was one of the biggest factors. I didn't trust the state to say, you know, if they could have said, oh, don't worry about it, but I don't trust the state to keep their word like that. And I was very concerned that we could, in downtown Reading, have a state prison. So, and then as it turned out, actually, it was a very good decision because in the end, we were able to renovate the existing jail. We added over 100 beds. So that's a 50% increase over the 64 beds. And instead of costing $3.4, $3.5 million, it's less than $1 million.
And can you imagine that? It was all because of showers.
Yeah, kind of amazing.
It was, you know, the captain down there, and I don't even remember his name, and I should, because we didn't, if just by adding, what, 10 showers?
Yeah.
Or maybe a couple other things.
Yeah.
And we could put another 100 people in there.
Yeah, and what's sad is that, you know, the sheriff's department didn't realize they could have done that 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And but, you know, the difference in cost is amazing because in the ARC, the beds would have cost us about $55,000 per year per bed to operate. In the jail now, it costs us less than $10,000 per jail bed per year. So it's a huge savings.
So it costs us $10,000 for each a year for each prisoner we have in there. About that?
Well, it's well, that's, I'm saying for the addition of those beds. When you take the whole operation, and I think it's $114 per day.
Okay. Okay, well, look, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here with Leonard Modi, who is the supervisor, 2nd District, running for re-election. He will have 12 years in at the end of this term. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community-oriented, locally owned, locally operated, two branches downtown at 1845 California Street and over in the O'Reilly Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue, and, of course, one down for our friends down in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way. You can learn a lot by just stopping in, or you can check out their website at bankcornerstone.com. But the one thing that they do is they move our local dreams forward. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back with Leonard Modi.
Your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society.
It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Strict attention to detail. That's what sets Kubota Construction Equipment apart. It's how we maximize performance, increase strength, and give you the dependability you demand. We engineer our equipment precisely at every level. It's what makes us a leader. Now get financing as low as 0% APR for up to 48 months. Now through March 31st, 2020. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Come on down to NorCal Tractor and Equipment, your new local Kubota dealer.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. One of my favorite songs of all time, Streets of Fire. Anyway, this portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You know what? What can I say about them? I haven't been saying for the last 8 years, except that these are the ones that we trust to come into our house to work on our HVAC systems. They put in an on-demand water heater for us. Their work is totally professional. They show up on time. They don't overcharge. Their people are totally professionals. They can work in any type of heating or cooling system. They come out every 6 months for you and check your filters, check your air ducts, make sure your system's working, your thermostats. All of this with Alliance Heating and Air, a better-known business right here in town. Give them a call at 221-2642. Learn more at their website, homecomfort.org. We're here with Leonard Modi, who is the Shasta County Supervisor for District 2. And one of the questions I was going to ask here is, what would you say in just say the last 3 years, what's the biggest thing that you think you've accomplished here?
Well, there,
because I've got a whole list of things here that you work on.
Yeah.
But what's your the one that you can point at and say, this is big?
Well, I think one of the things that Eric mentioned earlier was that I think I'm very glad to see was the medical assistant treatment program, which we're starting in the jail now. It was something that we couldn't get the previous sheriff to step on board with. He wasn't ready to do it yet for whatever reasons. But Eric has been open to that, and I think that's an opportunity to break the recidivism cycle for all our substance abusers. You know, I mentioned earlier that I think about 70% of our crimes are committed by people who are abusing some kind of a substance. And the fact that we can actually start a program where they're in jail, and we know we didn't invent this. This is a program that's been used in other places, very successful in Rhode Island, and I see it as a great opportunity to start breaking that cycle that these people are in. So, you know, that's huge. One of the other things that you know we've been able to do is through some of the different committees that I sent on is, you know, bringing up some funding for our roads, particularly, you know, the I-5 widening and stuff like that. My work on the water boards has been huge. We've been able to protect our water rights in the North State. That's something that is constantly under attack by those in the southern part of the state who would like for us to ship our water self to them.
Well, let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
You know, somebody came in yesterday or was talking about it, that it's our water. Is it our water?
Some of it is our water. And that's true, because a lot of people say, you know, like, well, you know, if we were to become our own state, let's say, and we would have Shasta Dam, and we'd have all the water, and we'd sell it, and we'd be rich. Well, that's not our water. That water is, you know, it's a federal dam with a federal lake. But we do have some rights of origin up here, where because that's where the water comes from, and we do have a certain amount of water that's, you know, pre-1914 water rights that allows us to use it up here for our uses. So, yeah, we can't just say it's all of ours, but we can protect what we have. And a certain amount is already under contract. What I'm kind of concerned about is there's a big push now to use more groundwater. And we have in our area underneath Redding and Anderson a huge aquifer that's about 4.5 million acre feet of water. That's the size of Shasta Lake.
Wow.
And so what people are suggesting is, well, let your river water flow down to us, and you pump your groundwater. Well, there's problems with that, because obviously if you pump too much, you're like you are in the San Joaquin Valley where the land settles.
Yeah, and get salt water back into it, because it doesn't. You pump it out faster than it can come back in.
Exactly. And then the other part of it is it's extremely expensive compared to river water. It probably costs you 4 to 5 times as much to pump the water out of the ground as it does to take it out of the river. Who's going to pay that? Are we going to pay that? Is that fair for us? So it's a constant battle to protect our water rights, but that's one of the things that's been on the top of my list.
You're also into the the one that Randall Hempling's on, the community health partnership.
Oh, yeah, the California Partnership
Health Plan.
Yeah.
That's been a big success up here. You said that you were instrumental in helping.
Well, certainly, I as part of the board, we were very supportive of that. But another one of the boards I sit on is the County Medical Services Program Board. Serves 35 counties in California, and that has some oversight over some of the health plans in the rural parts of the state. And certainly was able to support and help bring forward this partnership plan for us in the North State to serve those who are underinsured or not insured, to get services at a reasonable rate. And they do an excellent job. Their overhead costs are very low, so they're getting a lot of dollars out to those who need medical services.
What do you want to, if you get reelected, what's the big thing you're going to work on?
Well, the obvious thing is the homeless problem. We're all working on that. It's, you know, it is an issue that's a region issue. It's not just the city. It's not just the county. It's all of us have to work together.
47% of all the homeless live in California, so I guess we got our portion of that. But
we do.
But what can the Board of Supervisors do?
Well, I think we're looking. A couple of things are going to happen. The state, the governor is making a huge push to provide housing for homeless people, so we can take advantage of that. You know, we already provide about $40 million a year in mental health services to these individuals. And where it kind of comes into play is we got a couple housing projects that we've done here locally called the Woodlands Project, where we build with the city and we build housing for low-income people. But we also have a number of apartments set aside for mentally ill so they can have a place to live and they can actually have their family to live with them so they have that support services that you need. So that's another part that's something I want to work on. Another big thing is this whole fire issue. I've been working really hard down at the state level trying to push harder to get PG&E to have a more reasonable solution than just these power safety shutoffs where they shut off your power. You know, we got by this last time because it was in the fall. What's going to happen when they start doing that in August when people need their air conditioner on? You know, and you're a senior living at home and you have no air conditioning.
Or you need oxygen. There's a number of different things that came out without any warning. That was just criminal.
Well, and keep in mind that a lot of people who live in the county live on wells, and they can't pump water without the power.
I know people that are, in fact, Shasta Gas Propane has got a new branch out of their business that they're putting generators into people's homes. So they can pump waters that they can, you know, that they'll have enough electricity to run refrigerators and all this too.
It's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem. We're talking about fire. There was, you know, when the campfire hit, I'm sorry, with the car fire hit, they said the city and the county had signed a document to keep the area clean or to keep it, keep the lighter fuels down and all this. Or am I wrong on this?
Well, I'm not sure.
I know the city did, but did the county, was the county part of that about keeping...
Are you talking about prior to the fire?
Prior to the fire.
Well, the county has, they follow the state regulations that says you have to have a certain amount of clearance around your house, 30 feet of pretty much nothing but low-level stuff, and then going further out, you can have trimmed up trees and stuff. And so we enforce that throughout the county, and that's in place. I think the car fire was so big it wouldn't have mattered what you did with the winds blowing they were. But one thing I did do, it took me a few years to work on this thing, I kept pushing it and changing it and moving on it, but was we created a defensible space ordinance that then allowed the homeowners who live next door to someone who's an absentee landlord and never clean, they have their 5 acres of brush and they never do anything and it's overgrown. It actually gives some relief in that area that allows the county to have that property owner, the absentee owner, have to clear maybe 30 feet on his side of the fence so that if the neighbor's house is close to the property line, there is some additional protection. So that was something that we worked very hard on and were successful in getting passed.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back. We're here with Leonard Modi running for re-election for the Supervisor, District 2. 8:45 in the morning here, and this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop, where I was just at yesterday. I can't think of a better place or another place I've had a haircut in 12 years is there. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. You can give them a call at 244-9478 for an appointment. Remember, it's man's last stronghold. We'll be right back after these messages with Leonard Modi.
Love is deeper than the holler, stronger than the river, higher than the pine trees growing tall upon the hill. My love is purer than the snowflakes that fall in late December, and honest as a robin on the springtime windowsill. Longer than the song of a whippoorwill.
Bill, Susan, you guys look amazing. What's the secret? Our new Sleep Number 360 smart bed. He chooses the comfort on his side, I choose mine.
We feel incredible.
Ooh, I heard about that. Can it really help you fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming our feet on either side.
But can it help keep you asleep?
Yes, it senses our movements and automatically adjusts to keep us both comfortable all night.
I don't think it's a secret anymore.
Sleep Number. This is not a bed. It's proven quality sleep from $9.99.
Out here, there are many jobs to do. You need the kind of power, versatility, and comfortable handling that comes with your territory. Luckily, there's a tractor built to pull all that weight. The Kubota L-Series. Get an L-Series tractor for zero down with 0% APR financing for 60 months. Plus a 6-year limited powertrain warranty.
now through February 29th, 2020. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Come on down to NorCal Tractor and Equipment, your new local Kubota dealer.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. It's going to be a beautiful day today, just like it was yesterday. I want to remind everybody about a night of surprises this Friday at Wind River Casino, and it's with the Riverfront Playhouse presents Night of Surprises. It's a fundraiser. They're getting ready to open up the new Riverfront Playhouse downtown. Dinner, dancing, live music. Linda's going to be singing there. You're going to be, I mean, if she has been rehearsing with her band all week, and Lou White, of course. Raffle, silent auction, and surprise entertainment. Tickets are available at Enjoy the Store or at riverfrontplayhouse.net or give Barbara Harrison a call at 524-0223. A night of surprises. I'm here with Leonard Modi, District Supervisor, Shasta County District Supervisor, District 2. Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I've got two quick questions for Leonard. The first one, Leonard, on May 11th, Donnell Ewert made the false statement that San Antonio had 1,000 empty jail beds due to their sending their resources to a homeless resource center and getting that straightened out, and that proved to be a false statement. I wondered why he wasn't taken to task on that.
Well, you'd have to talk to this the county administrative officer that he works for him.
Well, you know, I think it would be the supervisor's job to get to the bottom of that, but we'll move on. July 16th, you said, when you questioned Joe Comente about the need for jail beds, you said that, according to a report that the sheriff ordered, that we had all the beds that we needed when you take into consideration sending some out of the county, and that you didn't want to see us build, say, 300 more beds that we didn't need and would sit empty. And now you're saying that we need 800 to 900 beds. I'm wondering why the flip-flop in just 6 months.
Well, what I was referring to in July was a study that Sheriff Osenko had done by his department on his own that looked at the jail bed space, and they, you know, gave a certain amount of numbers. Obviously, some things have changed since then. That was quite a while ago. Actually, the study was done a year before that, so you know, I recognize that there's some situations out there that are changing, and I think we need to continue to hold people accountable. So I'm not sure we can build as many beds as people want, but we need to do something more than what we have.
In July, you made it clear that you agreed with that, that you didn't think we needed more beds. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Being a supervisor, what is the job of a supervisor? I mean, I haven't asked that one lately.
You know,
it's a part-time job.
Well,
or is it?
It probably is what you make of it. Some people can probably get by with doing, you know, not much time, but it is more than, it's pretty close to, it can be certainly a full-time job or more. It's interesting. People think that the board of supervisors, you just go to the Tuesday board meeting for a couple hours and you're done and that's kind of it. But, as I provided you there, I sit on about 15, different boards for the county beyond just the county board. So I sit on the transportation agency board. I sit on 4 different water boards. I sit on a couple of medical boards. I sit on the veterans. I'm a veteran liaison. I serve on a forestry board. So air pollution control board. So this, all these other boards require time to get prepared for, to come to the meetings, to deal with. Most of the boards that I sit on are outside the county. I have to travel to like Willows or Williams or Rockland or Sacramento. So, but that's where you make your contacts. That's where you learn more information. That's where you get things done beyond just the Tuesday board meeting. And it's important to have those outside contacts. One of the boards that I sit on now is CSAC, which is State Association of Counties, kind of like the League of Cities. Mm-hmm. And I also sit on the executive board for that. And that's the board that's about 14 people out of the 58 counties that has direct contact with the governor and the governor's staff. And we talk about policies, issues, and we try to influence their decisions to be more respective of the North State. I'm constantly reminding people that there is something above Sacramento. Northern California is not San Francisco. It's up here where we live. And that's that opportunity to have an influence and make things better for us up here.
Does the governor listen to these at all? This is one of the things that must be the most frustrating thing to our representatives, is that we are different than Southern California.
Absolutely.
Does the governor realize that?
You know, I think it's still out as far as whether or not Governor Newsom does or not. Governor Brown did. He actually got to the point where he would contact or have a staff contact the State Association of Counties to ask us before they would put bills out, say, what do you guys think? How does this affect you across the state? And get our input. We're working on trying to do that with Governor Newsom as well. So they quit. You know, they tend to shoot from the hip sometimes with some of their ideas without thinking it kind of one size fits all, which is impossible in California. Mm-hmm. And so, and if we're not effective with the governor, then we move on to our legislators and try to influence them to recognize that counties are a different animal. You know, we're tasked with delivering, as you mentioned, I think on our earlier show, delivering state services at the local level. And we get all the heartaches that come with it. It's not our program, but we have to deliver it. And if they pull the money back, then they blame us for cutting the program and stuff. But we are joined with the state at the hip. We are a subset of the state.
You know, a lot of people come through here and talk about the permitting process that we have at the county. One time we had Les Mall here that said on the show, if you drink water, breathe air, or eat food, you come through my office. And,
yeah.
You know, and we played that several times. It was kind of a cool, you know, little bit there. But, you know, is the process for getting permits, have you looked at that? Is there a way of making it better so it's like one time you come in there instead of several?
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, I would say that one of the biggest things we did recently was we hired Paul Hellman to come over mm-hmm. to talk. And he is working on a cultural change for that department to change. He's pushing the decision-making level to a lower level so people can make decisions that, you know, at the counter or at the inspector level. I think he's trying to change the attitudes in there. So I do see it getting better, and he's working very hard to do that. And one of the things I'd like to see, I'm going to, again, from my other context, I like to steal an idea from another county where they have like permit Wednesday, and you come in with all those little small things like, you know, I'm building a shed or I'm good, you know, this little thing, and they need and it's a 1 day permit deal. You walk in, they look at your plans, and boom, they sign it off, and you're out the door in 1 day for small stuff. And I'm trying to bring that to our county. The other thing I've got from another county is on our juvenile hall. We're looking at converting one of those pods to be used for, instead of sending kids out to group homes, is actually keeping them in-house with us with a different atmosphere. And I could go into all the details. I don't have the time for today. But it's been very effective in San Luis Obispo County, where the kids are more responsive because they're still here at home with their support family and groups instead of being shipped off to some other county with no support.
Okay, and those homes, when I talked to them, when we're having problems with the that one, said they they thought it was better to get them out of the atmosphere because they didn't have all their buddies around them that they were getting in trouble with.
Well, and that's a, but see here, they don't, they get them away from that because they're in juvenile hall.
Okay.
They're not running free. They're in a facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've got them there then.
Yes.
You know, we only got a couple minutes left, but we've talked about it already. The letter that the border supervisor signed saying you didn't want the casino to be here. Reasons behind that?
Well, again, each supervisor had their own reasons and made their own comments. For me specifically, my concern was that we knew there'd be more services required and that would cost money, and we were not sure where that money would come from to pay for that. We had met with the Rancheria back in June, gave them a proposal. They didn't agree with it, which is fine. But they never came back with any kind of counterproposal to say, well, how about this or how about that? And so it kind of left it on the table as an open argument with nothing to be settled. And so to me, I just felt like I had to protect the county. They talked about generating jobs, and those jobs would then spend money, which I agree, and there would be sales tax dollars, but that sales tax dollars is money spent in the city of Reading and goes to the city. The county doesn't get that. So we would be kind of holding the bag without the money to pay for the services required. I was hoping we could, you know, get to some spot that it just didn't happen.
Okay. The it's up to the BIA anyway.
It is.
Did that cost us a district attorney? Because Red Rancheria had donated $250,000 for the quality of life. Did that cost us a position?
You know, you'd have to talk to the district attorney. I'm not familiar with what finally happened. I know that they've certainly, as I would expect, you know, pulled their funding back for this year. So
okay, yeah, I'm just wondering. Okay, we got like 50 seconds left. So how do people get a hold of you? How do people get a hold of your campaign?
Well, they can certainly, I'm on Facebook, Leonard Modi on Facebook. I can certainly get on my website as well, modiforsupervisor.com. You know, and I would wrap it up by saying, you know, I've enjoyed working. I'm a local person. I've grown up here all my life. I have the education. I've been to Notre Dame and USC. I have an MBA in finance. I know the tough questions about finance and what it takes. I have the endorsement of the sheriff, Eric McGreeny. I have the endorsement of the Deputy Sheriff's Association. I have the endorsement of the Chamber of Commerce. So I think I am the one that's most qualified, who has the experience to do this. My opponent has said lots of things, which I find is mostly just innuendos. I could respond back to some of his background, but I won't because